This is Jay Nebro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 677. And at a certain point, you realize that if you don't start recording soon, you know, you're going to lose some time. And that's not good. Even though I have no subject immediately to mind, I'm sure something will manifest itself as I go along. I'm on the way home from an interesting trip to Clovis. Ended up being that the original purpose that I came for kind of just went but I took care of some other issues for other people, and it went very well. I think it was okay. Boy, do I need to charge up my laptop really badly. Let me get busy on that issue here. Okay. Always try to put your laptop in your laptop carrier. I've got something of a, what do you call this thing? It's designed to be a laptop, but I've never used it as a laptop, very rarely. And it carries the bulk of my computer stuff. Oops. Oh man, I gotta be careful. I rig up things in here. I've got to be careful how I rig them up. Okay. Change over from battery back to power. Where's the power? Let's see the power, baby. And then I'll plug this thing in. I've got a little pretty good setup here for power. I've got two cigarette lighter outlets, and if I juggle things, I can usually plug in everything I want to have plugged in at any given time. And so right now I'm charging up my MacBook, and you know, honestly, I'm not very much of a fan of MacBooks. I think they're a little too glitchy. I don't like the keyboards on them, and I find that when I'm trying to compose something on like Gmail, that it's always just zipping around everywhere. I don't like it. I like a little more standard keyboard. I had an old laptop that was actually a Grid. Now, you never hear a Grid anymore. They went out of business. But I think they went out of, at least in the U.S. they did. They don't have U.S. presence anymore. These were notably tough computers. They were made for industrial stuff. Grid computers were on the space shuttle for a long time. You know, the first computers really to go to space were Grids. At least as a laptop, as like an MS-DOS or a Windows-based computer. The first ones to go were Grids. And just marvelous little computers. Grids are kind of cool because the very first iteration of it, the Compass, the Grid Compass, the very first one, it had its own operating system. I think it was really quite an elegant computer. Laptop-y feeling thing. It had bubble memory, which is non-volatile, it stays forever. It's slow memory. It's faster than a cassette, but much slower than a disk drive. So it had its kind of heyday. You can still get bubble memory sometimes, just for the simple reason that I think NASA still uses these Grids, because they just do the job. They've done such an excellent job over the years. I think it was an 8088 or an 8086-based computer, but not really MS-DOS compatible at all. Anyway, so it's a pretty good setup here. I'm kind of happy with the way it goes. Should I talk a little bit about ultralight backpacking? Something I really enjoy doing. I've been trying to slim down my weight. I can't say that I've accomplished it very well, for the simple reason that when I go out, it's usually with the boys. I already talked to you about the last fiasco of us going backpacking with the boys. But I'm always looking for a little lighter setup. Right now, money's really tight. We're still paying back from another trip that I've been on. Well, for our trip up to Utah to get some furniture and to do some nice things for my brother. Hopefully they were nice. I kind of wonder if it was really worth it for either one of us, but we did, and it was good to go and see my brother and to see my dad, to see their families, and spend a little time with them. And they were very, very nice. Everybody's just wonderful. I really liked my family. You know, we've got our little things going on, but by and large, a good bunch. Ultralight backpacking. It is neat to see what people make out of either garbage or just things that are really inexpensive. There's a guy, I think he's Russell the Weekend Adventurer, maybe. I don't know if that's really his name. He's got some stuff on YouTube, and he's got a website. And I find his stuff really neat because he comes up with some really neat ideas. He put me on to a cool place to get tent poles, the fiberglass tent poles. They're a little heavier than aluminum, but they're pretty durable, where sometimes aluminum can get really torn up, and aluminum costs quite a bit more than fiberglass does. But he put me on to some sources for that, because I always wondered about that. Because the tent I use for overnighting, I have a broken pole on. I've got it taped up, but it's just broken. It's goofed up. So I now have a source for getting it replaced. It's really cheap, too. It costs like $10, and you get actually four poles. I only need one. And, you know, it creates this really cool, neat, you know, it just takes the place of one of the poles that I had to get rid of. That I'm going to have to get rid of pretty soon. And it's got the little bungee cords that help keep them together. And he had used some of these poles and some of the bungee cord things to turn a poncho into a tent. And it was really cool because the poncho itself cost $20. The poles cost another $20. And it gave you a really nice, just kind of easy shelter. And I really liked his setup. Really neat. He uses kind of that, I don't know what to call them, but wafer cookie sleeping pad. And I have used the really thin, like half inch blue closed cell foam pad. And I don't think it went very well. Then I stepped up to kind of a corrugated, still the same kind of bag, but with some ruffles in it to give it a little more apparent loft. And I like that one a little bit better. But then, you know, after that, I got my cot, and I got a something of an inflatable one, a really cheap one. It's really, it isn't terribly good. But I've been using that, and that one works better yet. Now, I don't take that rig backpacking, because frankly, it just takes up too much space. People talk about thermarests and stuff like that, but I'm always worried about it getting punctured or just not working at the right time when I really desperately need it. So I've been kind of avoiding the thermarest for that. You know, the one that has a valve at the corner, and it's mostly self-inflating. They've been around for a long time, so I know they're somewhat proven. They work good, but I don't like going out into situations where my stuff has a likelihood of failing. And these things have a likelihood of failing. I mean, they aren't going to fail every time, and they aren't going to fail very often. But when they do, if they get punctured, you're kind of screwed, you know, and that's it. So anyway, I was looking, there are some kind of, they're orange and they fold up into like a big thick rectangle. And they just fold. It's kind of like crave, it's those wafer cookies. If you're to stack two or three wafer cookies on their side and swell it up about 10 times, or not 10 times, maybe about 4 times, you would have basically what I'm talking about. And you you unfold it. It kind of folds up like an accordion. Then you unfold it and then you sleep on it. But you can see you can double it up. If you need more padding, you can double it up. It's you know, half as long, but feels better. And it's kind of made that way, so it works pretty good. So I was going to think about doing that because those aren't very expensive. You can get those for like 30, 35, 40 bucks, one of those, and see how good those feel. Still closed cell, but gives you kind of the same effect, I guess, as a really thick pad. That's kind of what I'm looking for there. Something along the lines of an inch and a half or thicker, or at least giving you that kind of feeling. So I might do that. I've been having a lot of fun while I've been out camping. And this isn't really an ultralight thing. I've been overnighting. A couple of weeks I've been overnighting a couple of times a week. And I enjoy doing that. Whenever I'm out and I have to overnight, unless it's just horrible, unless the rain's just dumping or it's snowing or something like that. In fact, I have been in frost situations where I'll do that. I really don't have the rig right now to handle the really cold. The first year I was doing this, the first winter, and I seem to recall I only pulled a little bit of a fall before the first winter, that I took a lot of extra stuff. I had some extra things. I've gotten into the habit. I'd seen this as a product on the web, and then I figured out that what it basically was just a open sleeping bag. You actually don't have a sleeping bag all the way around you, because what happens is the part of the sleeping bag is underneath you. Just gets compressed and it doesn't really give you lots of warmth at all, so it's kind of pointless to do. And you usually take with you other equipment that's supposed to keep you, you know, that's supposed to keep you from contacting the cold ground. And that's kind of what I did that first year. Although let me tell you, did I sometimes get in a situation where it was just flat stinking cold? I had one where my water froze on me, and you know, that was bad. The place where I used to go and do that, they don't have showers in the off season anymore, so I'm kind of put into a tricky situation there. But so I've gotten into using kind of a, well, right now I'm using a mummy bag, and I don't think I'm very big on the mummy bag anymore. It's good in some ways because if your feet get cold, it'll help your feet stay warm because it's actually in a pocket. When you zip down a mummy bag, you have a stretched out blanket on top, but then you have kind of a pocket at the bottom where your feet can go. So when it gets cold, it kind of takes care of that. But you still have that freedom of movement, which I like so much. Although I do kind of like having freedom of movement with my legs, too. So I think I'm going to go ahead and switch back to more of a flat sleeping bag rather than the kind of sleeping bag I've been using now, which is probably a little more appropriate for later on in the fall. I looked at a website about, I kind of like combining biking. I would like to combine biking and camping because I do some biking and I do some camping. Of course, the problem is that given my job and my circumstances, I really can't put them together in the course of my work. I can only do one or the other. And although I've been looking at some of these folding bikes that really fold up really small, you know, that really end up being either carry-on luggage or check luggage on airplanes or on other things. And I've been looking at that and saying that that could be pretty cool for out in the boonies, but honestly, you know, walking's just as good where I usually go. I don't usually go on a big hike. I've been trying to do some trails. Last time I did a trail when I was camping out for work, you know, after a day of work, when I'm out traveling, I got dumped on, I got rained on, and I was soaked all the way through. It's a wonder that any of my stuff got dry. Now I've solved that. By now I have a totally separate set of clothes. My polyester backpacking clothes, and I use that so that when I go backpacking, when I get into camp, when I'm off working, I shuck my clothes, my regular work clothes, and I get into my backpacking clothes. And I can go backpacking if I get rained on, you know, if something bad happens, if a blowout, whatever. It doesn't matter. I even have another pair of shoes, my water shoes, which I have to work on. My poor water shoes have lost a seam. So I need to sew them up so they'll continue to work for me. Of course, I'm kind of troubled with it because it's really not a place where it's amenable to being sewed back up. But I'll do my best because I really want to save these shoes. These are really some really nice shoes. I like the whole way they work. I need to soak them. At least, yeah, I need to soak the soles in, you know, something like Clorox or something. Something to kill off some of the weird smells in it. Although it's not that big of a deal. It used to be a bigger deal when I used to not wear socks, and I used to wear the shoes every day. When I'm breaking them in, I just wear them all the time, to all kinds of things. And after a while, I try to do them without socks while I'm breaking them in, because that's predominantly the way I hike. I hike sockless, and I hike with water shoes. Nice ones that have a good liner in them. And not like a wetsuit liner, but that aren't like open to the air. I've got a pair of shoes that are open to the air, and they're bad because all kinds of garbage gets in them. My other shoes, I don't have that problem. They've got pretty good netting where the water can escape, and it just works better. It just works better, period. I like it. So anyway, I'm tired or what? I'm not really tired. I'm feeling pretty good. So I've gone over a lot of territory on this one, and I'm gonna have to finish it off here pretty soon. Just kind of a wide-ranging, wild wrangling episode of the Life Autistic. If you want to contact me, the email address is Autism, AUTISM, at Quix, QUIX.US. Feel free to contact me. Let me know you're out there. Let me know you're listening. I hope I haven't chased off too many people. These things tend to. These tend to, you know, people will jump on them and listen to them for a little while, and then I'll say something obnoxious, and they'll decide to get back off. It's kind of the nature of these things. And anyway, really cool, really neat kind of stuff. And I'm happy for these opportunities to do this. To do the podcast. Or to do the recording. You don't really call them podcasts anymore. That's kind of an old term for it. I was going to bring up another thing. When I go camping, I always try to go camping in a place that has showers. And I'm always lucky to find nice people with, like, RV campgrounds if there's no state park nearby, where I can stay there, and they have a shower, and I just usually pay like $10, and they'll let me use their shower. You know, I can set up my tent. I'm not using their electricity, so there's no skin off their nose there. I was thinking how niche it would be if it would just be too niche to have a shower, kind of a tent camping sort of thing. You know, you would actually have a shower, a showering system. Well, no, not a showering system. You would have showers and bathrooms, of course. You know, but otherwise, be just camping only. Have kind of open space and let people come in and camp in your open space. And and just charge them like $10. You know, I'd end up having to do it like $10 a head, which would still price me higher than a state park, but I don't get the state subsidies. And would just be to kind of defray the cost of having done this. You can get some people coming out and doing stuff. And that might be pretty... I mean, you wouldn't want to do it as like a living, but as just a kind thing to do for people, especially if you're living off the beaten path, which I always want to do. I always want to be somewhat off the beaten path. And I like the whole idea of being able to do that. Anyway, this is J.M. Robster. I'm going to pack it in here and just listen to the radio for the last few miles before I get to my destination. Home! Home at last! Anyway, so, this is Jay Nemro. You've been listening to episode number 677. Whatever it was about was what it was about. And hope you enjoyed it. And have a good day!